Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
It's been a very exciting year. The day that I drove into Tulsa, at the hour I drove into Tulsa, we had an earthquake that took place. And I knew that there was an apostolic mantle that the city was reacting to, and that's why the city shook. And then I, shortly after that, went to go minister in a couple of states, a couple of cities, a couple of churches. And when I was flying in from one of those cities, we were in a terrible, terrible lightning storm. Now, I did some research after the lightning storm, and pilots on YouTube, they come, you know, some of them have YouTube channels and stuff, and they talk. Pilots on YouTube said the most dangerous place to fly is a lightning storm. They talked about, like, all kinds of things, tornadoes and hurricanes, but they said the most dangerous is a lightning storm. And they were making, two pilots were making jokes about it. And they were like, you know, like, don't ever drive in a lightning storm. And we were flying in a lightning storm. And I was, I was able to text and call people. Were you in the church at that time? I was able to text and call people. So I texted the church, all the church people, and I got everyone praying for me. And I tell you what, it was so violent. The fact that we didn't crash was a complete miracle. It was so violent that the whole inside of the plane was damaged, and they had to send in crews to repair the plane once we finally landed. But we landed safely. And on that particular flight, the lightnings were striking right next to my window. Lightning was striking here, lightning was striking here, lightning was striking all around the plane, and it was thunders, and the whole plane was jerking and shaking and dropping in the sky and going up and dropping, and they were you know, speeding up and slowing down, and it was terrible. The whole plane was shaking up and down violently, and everyone was screaming. The stewardess was screaming, and I was interceding. And I was binding every demon, because it really felt like Jonah, you know, when Jonah was on the ship and the ship was being, you know, attacked by the storm. And the reason why the whole ship was attacked was because of Jonah. So I really felt like the whole plane was being attacked as an assignment against me. And so, but I was binding every demon in Jesus' name. I mean, I'm not going to do it now because the mic, you know, but I was screaming and warring in tongues. Kuraba shaba sata. In the name of Jesus, every devil, I bind you now. And, you know, angels of God surround us. And then everyone was screaming and yelling. But when I started screaming in tongues and interceding, everyone stopped and just looked at me. Because I was, you know, the only one not yelling cuss words. You know, I was screaming, Jesus, and angels come and deliver me. I swear to God, I was as good as dead. As God is my witness, I was as good as dead. That plane was going down. It was only spiritual warfare intercession that had that plane land. And once we got off, the pilot kissed the ground. And the pilot said, that is the worst flight I have ever been in. He said something like, I thank God we made it out alive. That's what the pilot said. It was a disaster. And we asked him, how did you drive us into this? And he said that all the mechanics on the plane, they have all this technology. And the technology will tell them when there's a storm or there's whatever, to avoid it, go left or right, go around. He said, but all the compasses had missed it. And the towers that talked to the planes, they didn't see it. And the storm was so wide, it came in so fast, it was so wide, it went basically from state to state in width. Because he could have flown into Arkansas to get around through Texas. So he could have gone like down past Arkansas, around Texas, and come back up instead of going directly into Tulsa. But the wall of the storm was so wide, there was no way to get around it. He just had to go straight through it. What a brush with death. Hallelujah. And then, I was just, you know, meditating on this earlier. And then, you know, I had this a pulmonary embolism a few months after that, just recently. And I had blood clots that went into my heart, into my lungs. Everyone said, you should be dead. And in the last two weeks, I've met four or five people that said, my husband died of that. My brother died of that. I said, how old was your brother? He was 30. One lady told me he was 30. The nurse that was taking care of me, she said, what are you here for? I told her, she said, oh my gosh. She turned white as it goes. She said, my uncle just died of that last week. The lady in the gym, her brother was 30 years old. He died of it within 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes was dead. At 30 years old, young, healthy, strong man. So I escaped death again. Hallelujah. So it's been an exciting, exciting year, I tell you that. You know, I've escaped the death two, three times. The day we arrived, the earth shook, there was an earthquake. And this has been pretty exciting because when I went into Mongolia, you know, the country shook. Revival took place and the entire nation heard the gospel on television through that revival that I did. Philippines shook the nation. President came on television and he said my name and said to kill him, you know, kicked me out of the country. And China, we made a big splash, impacted the whole country. Just today, we spent some time with some Chinese people, you know, that we met at the bank, you know, that I showed them some of the TV shows and all that, and we started talking. And I'm actually trying to plan a show for the Chinese community here in January, February, where we could bring the Chinese in and build relationships and reach the Chinese. But, you know, I thought that when we would get to America, we'd make a big splash like that. Well, actually, we did. When I arrived to America in May or June, we ended up having a video go viral. Two videos went viral. One video, me ministering in the hospitals, went viral. It reached 6 million people. And then another video of me speaking at Pastor Rodney's church went viral. And the funny thing is, I preached that message about the angels like 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago. But last year, like November time, that video for some reason went viral. And I called up Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, and I said, did you boost this video? Why is it going viral? And he said, I don't boost videos. I have no idea, you know, how this is going viral. It went to 26 million views. It was about 22 million or 19 million views in 3 days, in 72 hours. It went to about 19 million views. And then after the dust settled a few months later. Now it's around 26, close to 27 million views. So even upon arrival last year, things, you know, I had two videos that went viral. 26 million people saw that and so on, to the point where when me and my wife first arrived, when we were in D.C., you could ask her and the kids, when we were in D.C., people were stopping me on the streets from that video. And I was signing autographs, taking pictures of the people, and they thought I was this comedian, some secular comedian. I forgot his name, but they're like, are you that guy? I said, no, I'm not. They said, but I saw you with the pink jacket at this church talking about, you know. And so we did have a big impact, actually, too, you know. But we did not know that what kind of battle we were going to really come in when we arrived here in Tulsa, you know. We had no idea the type of battle. And I believe some of this battle that we're in has been against the spirit of religion. And I believe that's part of this spiritual battle here in Tulsa. But just interesting enough, this week, I had met the high priestess of the Wiccan pagan religion, and her husband, who was a high warlock, and they dress up as Santa Claus, and they go to all the churches, the big mega churches here. I won't say their names on television, but they go to the big mega churches and they donate their time, and they have events for all the kids in the church for Christmas time, dressed up as Santa. And so they bring all the Christian kids in, you know, and get them on their lap and put curses and all kinds of demonic things on the kids of all the people in the churches here. And I met them and I spoke to them and I was pretending to be a friend. Obviously, in the spirit world, we're at war. Amen. Somebody say amen. We're at odds. We're at war. In the spirit realm. And so I pretended to be a friend. You know, I just started building rapport. And, you know, I know, and I studied a lot about witchcraft. And one of my good friends early on in ministry was a man named Bill Schniblin, or Christopher Pendragon Sin was his occult name. And he was a high priest in Alexandrian witchcraft. He was a druid, and he was in the top ranks of Satanism in North America. He was into reptilian shape-shifting, vampire shape-shifting, blood drinking. He was a top level demonic guy in the country who got radically saved. And I met him at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, and he was preaching the gospel, sharing his testimony. So everything I learned from his books, I read all of his books, and I hung out with him, spent time with him, and friends with his family. So I was able to talk to these witches, and I was able to relate to them. I was like, oh, yeah, and the Order of the Golden Dawn, yeah. You know, she's like, oh, how do you know? I'm like, yeah, and I know this guy who wrote the Wiccan Bible. They're like, you know him? I said, yeah, I know him. I didn't tell her that I went to his store, cursed his Bible, cursed his bookstore, cursed their satanic ministry. I didn't tell her that part. I just said, you know, oh, I know him. Yeah, we met, we talked. Yeah, yeah. He, you know, he speaks Latin, fluent Latin. I'm like, yeah, you know, he speaks fluent Latin, and we were talking about the, you know, the Bible and all that for. And so she thought, like, I'm a good friend. Amen. And we just began to talk, and she confessed all this stuff to me. How, you know, the dark arts and how they're infiltrating the churches and all these things here in Tulsa. And she said there's about 300 to 500 witches in Tulsa. And she said the Tulsa witches are some of the most influential in America. And it was out of Tulsa that they had set up two lesbian witches to fight in the Supreme Court to create a gay marriage in the nation. And she said that came here out of Tulsa. The witches came together and they birthed that one and went to the Supreme Court and got that laws set in order. She says it was our covens here. This is satanic. I said it a few weeks ago. I'm not sure what service it was, but it might have been last Holy Ghost service, actually. But yeah, it was the last Holy Ghost service. When you go to Amsterdam and you read the history, you find that it was members of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan that started the Red Light District. People don't understand that it's not just free love. It's not just European advancement, European progressiveness. That's the word. It's not just European progressiveness that made Amsterdam the red light capital of the world, where people all over the world can go and solicit immorality. It was not the progressiveness of Europe, which people think, but it was actually the satanic church based in California that pioneered these demonic things there. People don't understand that these sins, this wickedness, debauchery sins, is actually tied to people who are intentionally in Satanism, intentionally in these demonic things. And so now they're here in Tulsa intentionally infiltrating the biggest churches in the city to release their demonic stuff. Well, does that surprise me? Well, you know, here in Tulsa, most churches don't even believe Christians could have a demon. They don't even believe a Christian could have a demon. And when a Christian is demonized, they want to just send them to counseling. And I talked to one person, I forgot who it was. Oh, it was Donnie and Darcy. They brought their son to their pastor here in Tulsa, a graduate of one of the great Bible schools here. And they brought their son to the pastor for deliverance and for prayer. And he said, "We're not equipped to do it. Send him to the St. Francis Psychological Clinic and have him get therapy at the psychological clinic at St. Francis," and refused to pray for him. So when I went to meet with him and to pray for him, they were shocked. Wow, we couldn't believe, because this is when they first started coming to the church, we can't believe that a pastor is willing to pray for our child. I'm talking about a charismatic, Holy Ghost-filled pastor. So does it surprise you, you know, that witches could infiltrate the church here and we'd not know it? I've been known to kick more people out of the church myself than to help people join. Hallelujah. I mean, in our church in Beijing, I kick people out left and right and left and right. But why? Because one of my roles is to protect the flock of God. And if I see somebody coming in with the wrong spirit, with the wrong attitude, or to pick up women or to pick up guys, we had more of that one actually in China, people coming to pick up guys. I kick them straight out. If they're coming with a subversive attitude, disrespecting the anointing, disrespecting me, you're getting the front, you know, you're getting kicked out. I remember I told one brother, I said, "If you show up again, I'm gonna have the you know, all the ushers pick you up and carry you out the door. Don't you dare show up." And he said, "Oh, why are you so harsh, Pastor?" Because this guy was not there with the right spirit. So we have to protect the church. Amen. So people come in with an assignment. Matter of fact, one time we had I don't want to call them something they're not, but we had a highly demonic woman in our church. She came to visit, and her husband came to visit. Matter of fact, I just posted on Facebook about a week ago all these artifacts that we burned on Halloween that was from that lady. She was into heavy satanic stuff. She was American. Her husband was German. He was into Germanic magic. If you study Germanic magic, it's very, very powerful stuff. This is the stuff that Hitler was into. And also Aleister Crowley, who is the Aleister Crowley. If you want to, let me just tell you this, just to educate you. In America, we were pretty much a Christian country. Churches, as you can see, all over the place. Churches were the center of cities, the centers of communities. We read the Bible and taught the Bible in schools. There was prayer in schools. There was a wholesomeness in America. It was considered, even up to the 80s, it was considered socially unacceptable for a boyfriend and girlfriend to live together, even in the 80s. Now, it's not even a thing. But even in the 80s, it was considered unacceptable for a boyfriend and girlfriend to live together. What happened was the age of Aquarius. What's the age of Aquarius? Well, what happened was these Satanists, one of them is the name Aleister Crowley, based out of England. He's, matter of fact, on the Beatles album. The Beatles have a rock album called Sgt. Pepper's. And on the front cover of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's is a picture of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was the founder of the Dawn of the Golden Order, a high, powerful occultist. And he wrote a book called the Almeida or Alchemism, or I forgot the exact name of the word, Talmudism or Alchemism or something like that. He wrote one of the foundational texts of occultism, Satanism. And in his book, this great, powerful book, not great in the godly sense, but just very influential, he had given the secret to dark magic. And the secret to dark magic was the sodomy of little boys. And so he was a bisexual, and he, along with the founder of NASA, They began to do seances and all kinds of perverted seances. And he would have in very high-profile American actors, American scientists, American entertainers, and some of what is known in America as New Age leaders. There was a very famous woman. She was an actress, a celebrity, and she was courted by him. She visited him, was mentored by him. The Beatles were mentored by him. And through his channeling of spirits, if you study my series that I taught last December on War in the Heavenlies, one of the spirits that he channeled was what is called the Greys. And the Greys are these aliens. We call them alien in pop culture. They're actually was his spirit guide. And actually, it is a demon, a demonic entity. He channeled this demonic entity. It was his spirit guide. And he drew the picture of him. So we have that picture. And it's what pop culture calls aliens. But this particular spirit guide, and then he brought in this woman. You would probably know her name, the famous actress. And she began to channel spirits with him. And the spirits that they channeled told them, this is the age of Aquarius. And that this age of Aquarius is the opening of a new portal in the earth. And that there is a new realm that's opened up in the earth. And there's a new portal that is open in the earth. And all these benevolent spirit guides are being released on the earth. And we need to let our ambitions go. We need to get high on LSD and smoke pot and sleep around. And they began to have big concerts all across the Western countries. And they would go to big fields. And they would get outside of these fields and they would listen to music naked. And they would pop LSD and smoke marijuana. And they would fornicate and sleep around with each other. And they would sing these New Age songs that said, oh, this is the age of Aquarius. Who was the big rock group that even sang the song? This is the age of Aquarius, the dawning of the... Who was that? Did you remember that song? It was one of the top hits of all the 60s. You know, the whole song, the lyrics are about the new age that we're in, how this portal has been opened up. We're in the new dawn, the golden dawn. Who? Fifth Dimension, yes. Sang the song, The Age of Aquarius. And it was a big hit all across America, and young people were being free, and then the Vietnam War was happening, and they were protesting the war, and it was about peace, pot, micro dot. That's what they said, peace, pot, micro dot. Micro dot was LSD, and it was about peace and love and free love, and it was actually really homosexuality and all kinds of debauchery. I want to be careful with my words because there's kids watching. And they were talking about this new age, the age of Aquarius. And that gave birth to these Indian gurus coming here from India. And they began to teach yoga. And they began to have these gurus would come here and lead sects and cults of people. And all these cults begin to spin off in the 60s and in the late 50s and 60s during this age of Aquarius. Well, you have to understand, this was more than just a youth movement. This is more than just a, youth being youth. This, what they are saying, what they are writing in the books, what they had said, is all true. It was the dawning of a new dimension of demonic powers released on planet Earth. The book of Revelation says, and I don't have this scripture ready because I wasn't prepared to go down this road, but the Holy Spirit's leading us. I actually want to talk about the seven spirits of God tonight. But what happened was these demonic forces were released, and the book of Revelation says that there's a certain time when a portal will be opened up and certain spirits will come out. The Bible says that there'll be a sound of a trumpet. And demons that have the body of a horse and the tail of a scorpion, they're going to be released from the depths of hell. These spirits have been in bondage maybe for thousands of thousands of thousands of years. But there's a time, the Bible says, when the trumpet is blown, when these spirits will be released. So what Aleister Crowley was channeling, and I want to just kind of emphasize this because there's a tendency when you're international like me, 24 countries, there's a tendency to downplay Western occultism and magic, and to look to shamanism is very powerful. You know, Indian shamanism or Mongolian shamanism or Western or Western African voodoo and Western African spiritism, juju priests and so forth. But this stuff was world changing. See, these people in the West Africa and Mongolia, they've been beating drums and channeling spirits for thousands of years. Didn't change the world. But what this stuff that Aleister Crowley was channeling and his influence changed the world as we know it. Released a whole dimension of demon spirits that to this day, I talked about it for 2-3 months. Where there's all kinds of alien appearances, alien abductions. There are demon appearances, demon abductions happening all across the earth. Took the strongest Christian nation at the time in the world and has now turned this country into a den of thieves, a city of devils. This occultism and magic, this witchcraft power has taken Tulsa from being the heart of charismatic revival and has converted it to a debaucherous city. I told you guys last Sunday that one of the big water parks here is owned by a swinger, and they have swinging parties for adult couples, and they go there freely to enact in these things. 300 to 500 witches in the city and warlocks going into the mega churches today to lay hands and put curses on all the babies, all the children. We could mock and laugh and say they have no power, but they have turned this Christian city to a non-Christian city. Why was there a rumble when we came into the city? Why was there an earthquake? Because the powers that are ruling this city, I've been saying this for weeks, are no longer the Christian powers. The Arkas. You study scripture, you find out that in the realms of the atmosphere, there are thrones of power. And these thrones of power, you can see who is in power by the evidence of what you see around you. When you go into a city and there's a lot of high blood pressure, there's a demon of high blood pressure in that city. When you go into a city and there's a lot of alcoholism, that's because there's a demon of alcoholism in that city. So that's why when you go to certain cities, you see certain trends, meth cities and prostitution cities, and those are the arkas, the demons ruling in those areas. And here in Broken Arrow, we have marijuana pot demons ruling this areas. And the people, let me tell you this. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. We, Christians, the enemy wants us to think that resistance is futile. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me. The enemy wants us to think resistance is futile. How does he make us think that? One of the primary ways that God showed me was he makes us think that through theology. Because the Bible says these things are going to happen. The Bible says things are going to get worse. The Bible says it's going to be one world order. The Bible says it's going to be one currency. The Bible says that you're going to be forced to take a mark. Resistance is futile. And I said, well, Holy Spirit, is resistance futile? That's right. The Bible does say this. The Bible does say that. The Bible does say these things will be. Is resistance futile? And the Holy Ghost said to me that to him that restrains, restraineth no more, then the wicked one shall be revealed. That's all he said to me, but I knew what it meant. That's all he said. What that means is the scripture says that while the church is still in the earth, before the rapture, as long as the church is here, the wicked one cannot be revealed. He cannot have free reign. In other words, resistance isn't futile. Resistance is the only thing holding back all of hell. It might look like it's futile. It might look like we have no leeway. It might look like we have no victory. But the Bible tells us that this spirit cannot be revealed until we're taken away, because resistance is alive and well, operating through us. Now, we might not have the impact that we should have or that we used to have. But let me tell you, resistance is alive and it is well. Hallelujah. But God don't only want us to resist the devil. The scripture promises if we resist him, he'll flee. But God has a remnant that's not only going to resist the devil, but that's going to chase the devil down and give the devil hell. Amen. And that's part of the army that I belong to. Began from the first day I got saved, hallelujah. When I got born again, I was having a lot of spiritual warfare with demonic powers. Until one day God gave me a prophetic dream. And the dream was a spiritual dream. It was not just a dream. It was an encounter. And in this dream, this big, ugly, scary-looking, gruesome demon, like a Nephilim, had captured me and put me in a cage in my backyard where I lived. And he was going to kill me, and I knew that my life was about to end. And he had cornered me in the cage, and I cowered down, and I cowered down like, you know, how you bend down like this and go like that, you know. I cowered down in the corner, and I had one thought. I said, if he's going to kill me, at least I could do is bust his lip. Amen. I don't know if you guys ever feel like that. But at least I could do is give him a black eye. At least I could do is give him a bloody nose. If he's going to kill me, let me do some kind of damage. Hallelujah. So I got up and I grabbed him by his shirt. And when I grabbed him by his shirt, the spirit of Samson came on me. And I picked this giant up and I slammed him against the cage. And the cage broke. Not only did it break, but all four walls of the cage simultaneously flopped down like the walls of Jericho. And the demon, this big giant demon, screamed like a sissy demon. Like a homosexual demon. Ah! Took off running. Hallelujah. And I chased that demon down the street. I chased him. He jumped on the bus. I jumped on the bus. And he ran to the back of the bus. I ran to the back of the bus. He jumped off the side of the bus. And I jumped off the side of the bus. And he jumped on the train. I jumped on the train. And I spent the next 5-6 hours of my sleep chasing the devil all over the world. Hallelujah. And that's when God defined me. When I woke up from that dream, I was no longer afraid of any devil. I've been looking for devils to beat. Hallelujah. And maybe one day, I don't know, I might lose a little battle. But let me tell you, I'm going to give him a black eye and a busted lip and a bloody nose before he gets me. Hallelujah. And God has a remnant that's not just going to resist the devil, but he has a remnant that's going to take him, chase him down, overtake him, and destroy. Scripture says, recover all. Hallelujah. God's looking for a remnant. So we're not just preaching in this church, let's get back into these spiritual authorities and let's get back to these spiritual seats of power and resist. But I'm saying, let's run the devil out of town. Hallelujah. Let's raise up a body of believers to run this devil down. Hallelujah. Now, I can't do it alone, but I don't need 100. Jesus only needed 12. Amen. But we need just at least 12 people who are fat. Hallelujah. No, I don't mean fat like daddy. My son's laughing at me. You all know what fat means, don't you? Faithful, available, and trustworthy. That's all God needs. He don't need eloquent preachers. He doesn't need good-looking, skinny, fat, you know, handsome. There's no requirements before God to be used by God except that you be faithful, that you be available, and that you be trustworthy. That's all that God requires of a good steward. The Bible says a good steward must be found faithful. Many are called. Everyone tells me about their calling. I'm called to this. I'm called to that. God called me in 19, this and that. God called me in 19, this and that. When God called me, this happened. The angels came. And when God called me, Hagen called me on himself. Papa Hagen, I was slain. Listen, many are called. Calling means nothing. It's who God chooses. And God chooses those who are found faithful. Those who put their hands to the plow, Jesus said, and they look back, he says they're not worthy of the kingdom. There's no inheritance for them. God did the same thing even when he raised up Gideon's 300. He said, have them go by the river and have them drink. And those that are just drinking, separate them from those who will. Are looking for the enemy and being cautious and watchful. God separated them. Being chosen is much more than being called. God chooses those who are faithful. Hallelujah. This great woman, Catherine Kuhlman, the assumption, and I'm just assuming that you know Catherine Kuhlman and you know what a powerful woman of God she was. The assumption was she got her great mantle after her second divorce, after her failure, after her falling, is when she became so anointed. That's the assumption I had for many decades. Then when I began to study her life more, I found out that she had the same healing anointing as a young 20-year-old evangelist that she had in her 50s as the world's greatest healing evangelist. She had the same anointing. I read how she moved in the same gifts, how she healed the same sick. But God didn't trust her with the crowds of 30 and 40,000 at 20 and 30 because she had to be found faithful. Sometimes God just wants to see if you'll be faithful for him to choose you. Amen. So, the age of Aquarius. The book of Revelation says that there's times and seasons where demon powers are released upon the world. And that's what Crowley and them were channeling. The reason NASA was started by Jack Parsons, and I heard they're making a movie about it. The reason NASA was started by Jack Parsons was to contact these demons in other dimensions. That's why it was started. And he started it with a man named, his name just slipped my mind, I had it a minute ago. But the man that started the Christian Science religion, Ron L. Hubbard. That's the name. Ron L. Hubbard and Jack Parsons studied together with Crowley. And Hubbard created the Christian Science religion. This is when all the cults began. Study cults in America. You find that all these cults began in the 50s and in the 60s. All the sects and all the cults and all the gurus and all these things began when that portal opened. Prayer was taken out of school when the portal opened. We truly don't wrestle against flesh and blood. These are not wrestlings we're having in the Supreme Court, but these are wrestlings we're having in the heavenly court. But my Bible tells me that resistance is powerful. It's not futile, and it's not time for us to give up. And in this church, we're training, and we're praying, and we're encouraging, and we're looking to raise up not just those who want to resist, but those who want to pursue the devil and the adversary and destroy his works. Because Jesus, that's the spirit of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Isaiah 4:18, he says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. The spirit of the Lord is one of the seven spirits of God. We think there's just the spirit of God. There's seven spirits of God. And I'll show it to you guys quickly here in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. If you have a Bible, turn there and see there yourself. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's one of the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11, 1 says that there shall be a rod, speaking of the prophecy of Jesus, the Messiah. By the way, I went to see the movie Dune. Pretty interesting movie. Pretty interesting movie. There's a definite battle between good and evil there. Pretty interesting. Have you seen it? It was good, wasn't it? Isaiah, a little bit of carnality there. All right, let's get back to the spiritual things. Amen. Isaiah 11, 1. Speaking of the Messiah, Muslims call him the Mahdi. Isaiah 11, 1 says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." The stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. So a branch, stem will come from Jesse, and a branch will grow from his roots. This is speaking of Jesus coming from Jesse. And it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Same thing Jesus said in Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him." That's one. "The Spirit of wisdom." That's two. "The Spirit of understanding." That's three. "The Spirit of counsel." That's four. "The Spirit of might." That's five. "The Spirit of knowledge." That's six. "And the fear of the Lord." That's seven. These are seven spirits of God. And these seven spirits of God have been our foundational revelation laid to us through modern day apostles and prophets. Saw and picked up and extracted from the scripture. We see seven spirits of God. One of them is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Now what happens if you have the spirit of might, but you don't have the spirit of the fear of the Lord? What happens? Samson is a good one. Samson had the spirit of might, but he didn't have the fear of the Lord. And it caused him to lose everything he built over many years. Jim Baker, built over many years, lost it. Jimmy Swagger, built over many years, lost it. If you don't have the spirit of the fear of the Lord with the spirit of might, you can lose everything you built, right? What happens to people that have the spirit of might? This spirit of might is not just physical might, but it's mighty works, mighty signs and wonders. I'll give you another one. The Jeffrey brothers. George Jeffrey and his brother had a powerful ministry in Africa. And one of the brothers had the most, Lester Summerall, who was close friends with Oral Roberts. He was close friends with Morris Cirillo. Lester Summerall said that he was even close friends with Edgar Bailey, one of my mentors. But Lester Summerall said, nobody had the anointing and the spirit of mighty miracles like George Jeffrey's brother. I believe it was the brother, Stephen Jeffries. I think it was George. Stephen was the one that built Elam. George Jeffries, Elam is a big denomination worldwide, Pentecostal denomination. George and Stephen. I believe Stephen was the one. I could be mixing them up. One started Elam, one was the crusade evangelist. Well, George and Stephen had the greatest miracle ministry that Lester Summerall had ever saw. Lester Summerall was pastored by Smith Wigglesworth. Everyone knows Smith Wigglesworth's name is synonymous with miraculous signs and wonders, raising the dead. But George Jeffries had it greater than Smith Wigglesworth, according to Lester Summerall, who knew them both personally. And he said he had the greatest miracle ministry. When he would start to pray, you could hear bones pop I forgot how long the distance, but he said, "For I forgot what it was something like 1 or 2 miles. You could hear bones pop and crack for miles as people who were there with deformities, their bodies would just pop and crack and just pop in the place when he would pray." That's the powerful ministry he had. But he was so handsome. Very handsome man. So good looking. So well dressed. Everything neat and tight and ironed and matching. He was like a prince. So well spoken. There was a whole movement that took place with South Africans and British of oratory speaking, eloquent speaking, and Spurgeon was one of these guys. You know, Spurgeon and the Jeffreys and Duplessis and all these guys. There was this whole movement in the charismatic church to be excellent orators of the Word of God. And of the top of the cream of the crop was the Jeffreys brothers. He could oratate and explain and teach the Word of God till you're hypnotized. And he was as beautiful as an angel. Walked like a prince. And he was so full of himself, he split with his brother. His brother was the organizer. His brother was the one that could organize, and his brother wasn't much of a preacher and didn't look like him and didn't have the miracles as his younger brother did. He was more of a secretary type. That's why he started a denomination, Elam. He split with his brother because he felt he was such a greater gift. Why share the ministry with my brother? Went on his own. Got up in one of his crusades. And the Pioneers of Faith book by Lester Sumrall talks about how there was nobody like him in the earth that could demand miracles, evident limbs growing out, signs of wonders, and money just poured into him. Millions of dollars poured into his ministry. And he got up on one of the crusade platforms on stage, and he declared that there was no one like him in all the earth. And that he has some type of equality with God. And when he did that, the Lord struck him with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, the interesting thing is, rheumatoid arthritis was the number one miracle that he healed. The number one miracle in his ministry was when people were tied up with rheumatoid arthritis, was the number one miracle that he healed in his ministry, and that came upon him. So one day, God spoke to Dr. Sumrall and said, "I want you to go pray for George or Stephen Jeffreys." He went to his house there in London, England. He knocked on the door, and a voice yelled out to him, "Who is it?" He said, "Well, it's Brother Sumrall. I'm here to pray for you." He said, "Oh, Brother Sumrall, brother, please, please come in. Thank God you're here." So Brother Sumrall opened the door. The door was unlocked. He opened the door and came in. And he didn't see Brother Jeffreys anywhere. He said, "I'm over here, Brother Sumrall. I'm over here. Come pray for me." And he was tied up like a pretzel. Limbs tied up like a pretzel. Couldn't pull them out. They were tied up like a pretzel under the dining room table. And Lester Sumrall leaned down and crawled under that table and prayed for him. And that's the last state that he saw that great evangelist. It's not good enough just to have the spirit of might. And though many of us pray for mighty signs and wonders, many of us pray to be used by God, I must say thank God that God's not answered your prayer. Because until you get the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of might could be the most dangerous thing for a novice to have. And I get nervous. If you have the spirit of might without the spirit of the fear of the Lord, what happens is womanizing. One of the famous prophets you know in Africa has come out that he had affairs with multiple women on his staff. Great signs and wonders, but no fear of the Lord. Prophets that get great realms of accuracy Without the spirit of the fear of the Lord, they begin to give prophecies for money. And they have $500 prophecies, $1,000 prophecies. Give me a donation and I'll prophesy to you. I've even, Brother Frank Summerall told me of one of the famous evangelists in America. I believe his name was Leroy Jenkins. Would prophesy money out of people's wallets. The Lord said, you have $300 in your back pocket and a brown leather wallet. Spirit of God said, give it to me right now. They would start to cry, pull the money out, and give it to him. And Brother Frank told Leroy, that's witchcraft. You better not do that. He continued to do that. Arrested, in jail, burned his house down. Fraud, perversion, died miserable. To have the spirit of mighty signs and wonders without the spirit of the fear of the Lord is a very dangerous thing. The Bible says that the spirit of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. So maybe we should seek the fear of God before we pray for wisdom, before we pray for great power. We should seek God for a baptism of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Let's stand and close tonight's teaching. I hope you guys got something out of this tonight. We're educating you so you be not ignorant of what kind of forces are operating in this country, in this city, and also what kind of forces you have that you should be operating in. Hallelujah. Because the forces that we have to operate in are much more powerful than every devil or Crowley himself. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder, I bet you there was some man of God that probably fought with him and challenged Crowley. I bet you there was. There must have been. You know, Al Capone and Billy Sunday were sworn enemies. Al Capone hated Billy Sunday and tried many times to assassinate Billy, but he couldn't get Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday preached everywhere Al Capone was selling alcohol. Billy Sunday would preach and everyone would give up their liquor. Billy Sunday, the evangelist, was Al Capone's worst nightmare. Hallelujah. We need preachers like that again, especially in America. We have them in Africa. We need them in America. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to raise up Billy Sundays again, once again in America. Raise up voices, Father God, like that. We even thank you for the great mantles you gave men of God in the 90s, like Rod Parsley, God. Give him back the thunder, God. Give every Samson back the spirit of might in this last hour so we can overtake and recover everything the enemy's put upon this generation. And we thank you, Father God, for revealing to us today that resistance is not futile, but it's powerful. Holding back even that man of iniquity, Father God. So we, Father God, are part of that company to hold back the darkness and not only hold it back, but to rebuke it, to release the light of signs, wonders, and the holy name of your Son, Jesus, that, Father God, we'd be able to reverse. The scripture says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's not just for this church and the members of all nations, international fellowship to resist, but it's to go about doing good, healing all that are sick and oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it today. And we pray in Jesus' name for more harvesters, God. Fill this place up with harvesters, people ready to be equipped and empowered to be overcomers and to be light bearers, Father God, in the darkness. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I must work while it is still light. Darkness is upon us. Hallelujah. And we are bright, shining lights, Father God. We must work and shine that light to all nations, God. And we thank you for it. Give me a roaring thunder, hallelujah, over this city to give me an amen, angels. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're watching, there's my amen. Thank you, angels. We ask you to give so and support this ministry. Give generously. You could do so at aniftulsa.com, aniftulsa.com. It's a big donate button. Find it. Use it. Don't give up heart. aniftulsa.com. Give, sow, transfer, send money to this ministry. Help us finance this ministry in Jesus' name. We love you and we bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Joseph Castillo, and this is Living Proof's podcast. I know you are blessed and encouraged, and I want to invite you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. He died for your sins so you don't have to die in that mucky mire of sin. He had lifted you up, shed his blood so you could be forgiven of everything that you've ever done. And all you need to do is open up the door and let the King of Glory come into your heart with the words of your lips. Repeat after me, and God will start a new chapter in your life today. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now, just as I am. I am a sinner born in sin. But God, you sent your Son to die for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. Wash me in the blood. Forgive my sins. Send your Spirit in my heart. From this day forward, I have new life. I have boldness to share the gospel with others. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry. You could Facebook us, you could email us, you could Instagram us. We're on all those platforms. Bishop Joseph Castillo. Just go to our Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Email me if you want, bishop@theriverchurchtulsa.com. And we'd like to give you a free gift so you can understand this new walk with Christ that God has given you today. It's my book called Reality or Religion, The Beginner's Guide to Faith. We'll send you a copy. If this broadcast has blessed you, I want you to share it with others. And I want you to also partner with our ministry. Help us carry the good news of the gospel across the earth. And you can do so at theriverchurchtulsa.com or asiarevival.com. Once again, that's asiarevival.com or theriverchurchtulsa.com. If you need prayer, feel free to call us at 773-599-7197.